So today's class will be given by Her Grace Kala Sudha Mataji on the topic of Tulsi Shaligram Vivah. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, yes, I'm here.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji.
Thank you very much. I'm thankful to Preeti Vilasini Mataji for this opportunity. Thank you all so much. It's wonderful to hear all of you and be back on the call. Hare Krishna, wishing all of you a very, very happy Sri Kartik Purnima, a very happy Ras Purnima, Tulsi Shaligram Vivah, and the culmination of the Chaturmasya Vrata and Damodar Vrata. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevam Bhagavatam Yottama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Nabhaya Nama Pankaja Malini Nama Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankaja Re Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today I will be speaking a little bit on the most auspicious wedding of Shushi Tulasi and Shaligram. So we all know how Tulasi Devi she was born very, very specially. There is a very special pastime why Tulasi Devi also, you know, she appeared in the family where she appeared, in the family of the two brothers, Dharmadhwaja and Kushadhwaja. And they are all descendants of Manu. They were descendants of the Daksha Savarni Manu. But Dharmadhwaja and Kushadhwaja, they actually, you know, Tulasi Devi was born to Dharmadhwaja. And his wife's name was Madhavi Devi. And they actually were blessed. This couple was blessed with the most auspicious Tulasi Devi. And the reason why she was named Tulasi by the lotus sages, by the great sages, it was because that she had marks on different parts of her body which were very, very special. And she had lotus flower marks on her feet, and then her face was just like the autumn moon. Her eyes resembled like blooming lotuses. Her lips appeared like red bimba fruit. Her palms and the soles of her feet were very reddish. Her navel was very deep, and just above it there were three beautiful folds, making her waist look very slender and very attractive. Her body was very warm in the winter season and cool during the summer season, and very pleasant to touch. So like this, she had, you know, her complexion was just white. She was white in color, like a champaka flower. And because her beauty was incomparable, the great sages actually called her Tulasi. Tulasi means jinki tulana nahi ki jati, one without a second. So that is why her name is Tulasi. So it's very beautiful why her name was given as Tulasi. Now, when Tulasi Devi, when she was inside her mother's womb, inside the womb of Madhavi Devi, it is explained that she was in the womb for 100 celestial years. You know, in those days, of course, we know how many, you know, millions of years everyone would live for. So Tulasi Devi was inside her mother's womb for 100 celestial years. And you know, somehow then on an auspicious day and an auspicious moment, when there was a full moon in the month of Kartik, on a Friday, she actually appeared. So Tulsi Devi, she appeared in Kartik month on a full moon day. It's not mentioned though that which full moon did she actually appear. Was it this full moon? Like today is also full moon day. So I'm not sure if she appeared on this full moon day or the other full moon day that comes in Kartik. But it is mentioned that she appeared in Kartik on a full moon day on a Friday. It's a very auspicious way that Tulasi Devi made her appearance. And then when she was in the, you know, peak of her youth, at that time she actually left home. She left the luxury of her home and she went to Badrikashram. And it is explained that she would, you know, do severe austerities because she had this one objective that she wanted Lord Vishnu as her husband. So in order to receive Lord Vishnu as her husband, she started doing great tapasya for pleasing Lord Brahma. In order to please Lord Brahma, she used to, you know, in the summer season, she would surround herself with, you know, rounds and circles of fire, and she would sit inside that circles of fire. Then she would, you know, in severe winters in Badrikashram, we all know how, you know, the winters are so severe, and she would immerse herself neck deep in ice cold waters, you know, and chant, you know, mantras in order to please Lord Brahma, who would appear and grant her benediction and fulfill her desire to obtain Lord Vishnu as her husband. So finally, being pleased with the great tapasya of Tulasi Devi, Lord Brahma came flying down on his swan carrier, and he came and he said, "My dear Tulasi, tell me, what do you want?" And then she, you know, very shyly, very modestly, she said that, "I actually want Lord Vishnu as my husband. That's my desire. So please bless me so I can have Lord Vishnu as my husband." And at that time, Lord Brahma said, "Okay, I will definitely, you know, grant this benediction of yours to receive Lord Vishnu as your husband. But before that, I have a, you know, I have a request before that." But Tulasi Devi said, "You want to request me? What it is? What is it? What do you want to request me?" So Lord Brahma said, "My dear Tulasi Devi, I am just now coming from another part of, you know, another part of the same place where there is another personality who has just rendered severe tapasya, and I have fulfilled his desire also. And I would like to tell you how you actually appeared as this, you know, form of yours as Tulasi Devi. Before this, you were in the spiritual world, and Krishna was one day, he was with you in the forest grove, and Krishna was intimate with you, and Srimati Radharani was actually, not Krishna was not intimate with you, but you were actually Vrinda Devi, you were Tulasi Devi in the spiritual world as well. And what happened is that in the pastime of Viraja Gopi was trying to, you know, serve Krishna in the forest Kunja, at that time, Krishna was with her in her kunja, in her forest grove, and Srimati Radharani came, and Krishna had actually kept his boyfriends, you know, his sakhas, outside the kunja, the forest grove of Viraja Gopi, so that Srimati Radharani does not come. And Sridhar especially was standing guard. And it is explained that how, when Srimati Radharani came, at that time the cowherd boys did not allow Srimati Radharani to enter that forest grove. And Srimati Radharani was very angry, very, very angry. And Sridham Sakha, especially, he actually rebuked Srimati Radharani and said, because he had permission from Krishna, he actually, you know, told her that, no, you're not qualified to enter this forest grove. So when he said like that, Srimati Radharani was extremely upset, and then Viraja Gopi from inside, she found out that, you know, she could understand that Radharani was outside, and she, of course, disappeared. She became the Viraja River, the dividing river between the spiritual and the material worlds. And Krishna also disappeared from there. And then when Radharani finally entered the kunja, there was nobody. But she could understand, you know, by her mystic potency, that Viraja and Krishna were here. And that, you know, Sudham, Sridham, all the sakhas, they did not allow Srimati Radharani to come. So then, in front of Krishna, you know, Srimati Radharani came, and then she saw Krishna sitting on another, different throne, and he was, you know, outside with all of his sakhas. At that time, Radharani came there, and she was very, very upset. And in her anger, she actually cursed Sudama, saying that, "You did not allow me to enter the forest grove where Krishna was, and you acted like a demon. So I curse you to become a demon." And Sudama Sakha, he actually took that curse of Srimati Radharani very, very gratefully, very graciously. And he was born as a demon in the earth planet. And Lord Brahma went on to explain that Sudama Sakha, he is born now as Shankhachuda. And he's a very, very powerful demon, but he knows that he used to be the Sudama Sakha. He's a Jatismara. So are you. You also are a Jatismara. And if you know that in the spiritual world, Sudama Sakha secretly admired you, you know, he was very much in love with you. So he did tapasya, special tapasya, as Shankhachuda, to get you as his wife. So before I grant your desire of getting Lord Vishnu as your husband, I would first like to fulfill Shankhachuda's desire. That Shankhachuda also desires you, and he, in prowess, he is equivalent to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. He is very handsome, just like Vishnu, because he's Vishnu's friend. So like this, Lord Brahma requested Tulasi Devi. And Tulasi Devi, out of the, she also was a Jatismara. She knew that Sudama Sakha had these feelings for her while in the spiritual world. So therefore, she very graciously accepted. And by the desire of Lord Brahma, Shankachuda also manifested over there, right where Tulasi Devi was, in that part of Badrikashram. And Lord Brahma himself presided over the wedding and got them married according to the Gandharva Vivaha, rites, where the parents are not required of both parties, that they kind of elope and get married. So Lord Brahma, he personally performed and presided over the marriage of Tulasi Devi and Shankachuda. So they were married, and then after that, Shankachuda and Tulasi Devi, they were very blissful with each other in each other's company. And Shankachuda gradually brought Tulasi Devi to his own kingdom, which was unrivaled. He had opulence just like the devatas. He was very, very powerful demon, very powerful. So he had a huge kingdom, completely, very, very opulent. And it was very heavily guarded as well, very safely protected. So like this, Shankachuda, he brought Tulasi Devi to his beautiful kingdom. She was the queen of the demon Shankachuda. And they enjoyed celestial yugas together. They were together for many, many yugas. And when they were very nicely, they were continuing on with their life. One fine day, what happened was, all the devatas, they were actually very, very disturbed by the activities of the Shankachuda. Because Shankachuda was, after all, a demon. And he used to torture the devatas. He would have fights and battles with the devatas, being the demoniac nature that he had. And Shankachuda, he was actually blessed with a kavacha which was called the Vishnu Raksha Kavacha. And that Vishnu Raksha Kavacha would always protect Shankachuda. And so he would never lose a battle. And the first thing that would always protect him, this kavacha was the secondary thing that would protect Shankachuda from losing a battle. But the first thing that would always protect Shankachuda and make him victorious, make him even conquer death, was the chastity of Tulasi Devi, the chastity of his beloved wife. It is said that how the women can be so powerful that just by their chastity, they can protect the husband from the greatest kind of fear. So like this, by the chastity that Tulasi Devi had towards Shankachuda, he would always remain victorious, always remain protected. And of course, then the second item was the Vishnu Raksha Kavacha that he was adorned with. He was always wearing the Kavacha of Vishnu Raksha. So the devatas, they got really frustrated by the activities of Shankachuda, and they all came in a big group and they approached Lord Shiva. And they said, "My dear Lord Shiva, please," headed by Indra. Indra was heading the party of the devatas, and he said to Lord Shiva that this Shankachuda, he's making our lives miserable. Please do something about it. There's nothing that, we can really do. You have to come into the battle with this Shankachuda. So then Lord Shiva, he smiled and he said, "Okay, I will come. I will come and battle the Shankachuda," who is the, Lord Shiva knew who Shankachuda is, the Sakha of Krishna. So then, Lord Shiva came with Nandi and with all his, complete entourage, and all the devatas came, and then Lord Shiva sat down in meditation under a huge, banyan tree. And then there was a huge battlefield that was there, but Lord Shiva was sitting in meditation. And by his meditation, he communicated to Shankarachuda that he is preparing for war. So then Shankarachuda could get that message. And once he got the message, Shankarachuda immediately started preparing for leaving the kingdom for battling with Lord Shiva. And at this time, Tulasi Devi was feeling very, very restless. She was feeling very restless, and she said to Shankarachuda that, don't go. Just, you know, give up everything. Give up whatever you've taken from the devatas and just, you know, let us continue with our life. You know, let us not bother about anything like that. She was trying to convince her husband. And Shankarachuda said, well, I cannot give up my demoniac propensity. So, and, you know, I'm a Kshatriya. So Lord Shiva is asking me to come and, you know, fight in battle. So I have to go and fight. Shankarachuda, you know, was bid farewell by, his wife. And then he left. And he came in front of Lord Shiva on the battlefield. And, you know, because of these two facts, the chastity of his wife and the second thing being the Vishnu Raksha Kavacha, Shankarachuda was not getting defeated in the battle. He was just not getting defeated. And Lord Shiva, he actually was, you know, seeing the frustration of the devatas. And at that point, Lord Shiva, through his meditation, he called upon Lord Vishnu. And he said to Lord Vishnu appeared in front of Lord Shiva and said, what can I do? And then Lord Shiva said, what can I do? You know, the devatas have come to me and I am coming into this battle, but the Shankarachuda, it's impossible to defeat the Shankarachuda. What can I do? How can I defeat this man? It is impossible because he's protected by these two great powers. So there's nothing that I can do. Only you can do something. So Lord Vishnu smiled and he said, okay, I will take care of it. So Lord Vishnu first disguised himself as an old Brahmana. And he came in front of Shankarachuda and he said, my dear Shankarachuda, I want some bhiksha. I beg for some alms from you. The Shankarachuda was very gracious to Brahmanas. The Shankarachuda, you know, immediately said, yes, my dear Brahmana, what can I do for you? He said, I want your Vishnu Kavacha Raksha. Your Vishnu Raksha Kavacha, I want that. Then Shankarachuda immediately understood that this is none other than Lord Vishnu, because nobody other than Lord Vishnu could have come and asked Shankarachuda. So knowingly also, you know, Shankarachuda, although he knew that giving away this kavacha would mean that he would get defeated, he still gave away that kavacha, the Vishnu Raksha kavacha. He handed it over to the old Brahmana, who was none other than Lord Vishnu. And then having received the Vishnu Raksha Kavacha, then Lord Vishnu, he actually assumed the form of Shankarachuda himself. And as Shankarachuda, Lord Vishnu created such a scene as if he had won the battle and he was coming back to the kingdom with his own army. And he was victorious in battle. So that was the scene that Lord Vishnu created as, you know, impersonating as Shankarachuda. So Tulasi Devi, when she heard the great trumpets blowing and, you know, everyone saying Jai Shankarachuda like this, she was so happy. Her joy knew no bounds. And then she started cleaning her quarters. She started cleaning the entire palace. She started making great delicacies for welcoming her husband. And then Shankarachuda, he came inside the kingdom, you know, victorious. That was Lord Vishnu himself. But he came as Shankarachuda and he came into the kingdom. He entered the palace and there Tulasi Devi stood with the aarti tray and she, you know, did tilak for Shankachuda. And as soon as, you know, she did tilak, and then after that, Shankachuda came with Tulasi Devi to their inner chambers. And as soon as Shankachuda, the impersonated Shankachuda, embraced Tulasi Devi and was trying to be intimate with her, at that very moment, Tulasi Devi immediately understood that this is not my husband. Because a chaste woman can always understand the touch of her husband, however the look of the husband may be, but she can always understand the touch of her husband. So she could understand that this is not my husband. And as soon as, you know, Tulasi Devi's chastity was violated, at that very moment, Lord Shiva actually released his trident. And when Shankachuda, on the original Shankachuda, on the battlefield, saw the trident of Lord Shiva coming in front of him, he immediately jumped down from his chariot and he sat in a meditative pose and he remembered Krishna. He remembered and started meditating on Krishna. And the trident came and it just burnt down Shankachuda. He burnt down his entire body. And there was nothing but ashes that were remaining and there were bones of his body that was remaining. But Shankachuda, he actually did not retaliate at all. As soon as he saw the trident coming, he immediately understood that this is my end. And he immediately got down from his chariot and he started meditating on Krishna. So, although, you know, this is the power of a sadhana siddhi or a nitya siddha jiva. An eternally liberated soul has the power to do this. You know, when they see death coming, they can choose to remember Krishna. As opposed to us, who are the nitya baddha, the eternally conditioned living entities, that we don't have that choice. And therefore, we need to practice to remember Krishna at all points of our life. The nitya siddhas, they can choose to remember Krishna at any given point of time. No situation is higher than their remembrance of Krishna. But for nitya baddhas like us, like me especially, we are so conditioned that the situations always become higher than our remembrance of Krishna. So therefore, we need to practice devotional service so that our remembrance of Krishna can become more and more and more natural. And that is possible only by a strong sadhana, only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, the mercy of Guru Vargas, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. When they are pleased with the sincerity in our sadhana, then they bless us with constant remembrance of Krishna. Kirtaniya sadahari. Only then we can constantly remember Krishna. However, coming back to the pastime, so Shankachuda, his body was reduced to ashes and only bones were remaining. So Lord Shiva, he came to the spot and he stood and saw the vision. And he said, oh, what a great soul this Sakha of Krishna has been. This great demon Shankachuda, even in his death, he has taught us how to give up our body. That was how Lord Shiva was glorifying Shankachuda, his glorious leaving of his body. And at the same time in the palace, Tulasi Devi could immediately understand that her chastity is violated and thus her husband has been killed. She could immediately understand that. And once she understood that, she actually said, who are you? And she started shouting at the impersonated Shankachuda. And she started shouting that, reveal yourself to me. You cannot be my husband. You have tricked me, and your heart, you are a heartless person. Your heart is just like stone. You know, you don't have a heart at all. How could you do this? How could you violate my chastity and you have killed my husband? So because your heart is just like stone, whoever you are, I curse you to become a stone. So at that time, Lord Vishnu, he revealed himself, the four-handed Lord Vishnu, beautiful Lord Vishnu, manifested in front of Tulasi Devi. And Lord Vishnu then told Tulasi Devi that, and seeing the, you know, gorgeous form of Lord Vishnu, Tulasi Devi actually fainted. She lost her consciousness. And then Lord Vishnu revived her back. And once she was brought back to her external consciousness, Lord Vishnu told her that, my dear Tulasi Devi, I was just fulfilling your desire, you know, of you desired to have me as your husband. That was your first desire. However, although I fulfilled your desire, I acted because I wanted to fulfill your desire. That's why I acted like this. But you are my wife. And whatever the wife gives, you know, whether it is good or criticism or whatever, I will accept it. So you have cursed me to become a stone, I will become a stone. So then Lord Vishnu transformed himself to become a stone like Shaligram Shila. So that's how Lord Vishnu became Shaligram, and he became stone from that day onwards. And Lord Vishnu started explaining to Tulasi Devi. Tulasi Devi was crying and she was feeling, you know, which side am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Yes, there's no doubt I desired you as my husband, but what did you do? You know, you came and cheated me and you did this, you did that. So Tulasi Devi was also in a very disturbed condition. But then, you know, Lord Vishnu pacified her very beautifully and said that, my dear Tulasi Devi, you should understand that Lord Shiva has actually, you know, your husband has already gone back to Godhead. He is waiting for you in the spiritual world. But even his body right now, it has become, because Lord Shiva has taken the ashes of your husband's body and the ashes and the bones, he has taken that and he has immersed it into the ocean. So the bones of your husband's body, Shankachuda's body, has become Shankha, you know, conch. So I am giving you the benediction that, you know, actually out of separation from her husband, Tulasi Devi's hair actually all dried up and it became into the gorgeous Tulasi plant, you know, transformed into Tulasi plant. And so, you know, Lord Vishnu said that, I am telling you that from today onwards, I will be found, you know, and it is said that part of Tulasi Devi's body became the Gandaki River, which flows in Nepal. That is part of Tulasi Devi's body, and part of her body with her hair and everything became the Tulasi plant. So Lord Vishnu told Tulasi Devi that, I will be found only on your bank, you know, on the banks of the Gandaki River. My stones, Shilas, will be found. And when I will be found, I will be eaten by Vajrakita insect. You know, there's a particular kind of insect which eats stone. And these Vajrakita insects, they will make different, very beautiful carvings on different parts of my body. And I will be the color of a rain cloud, a fresh rain cloud. Bluish black will be my complexion. And based on the design that is found on my body, I will be known by different names. So So a description of that can be found in the, there are many Puranas actually that can have these descriptions of the various kinds of Shilas. Padma Puran is one of them. The Hari Bhakti Vilas is another. So there are many, many scriptures that have the descriptions of based on what kind of chakras, based on what kind of markings on the different Shila that we call them different names. So we can recognize these different shilas. The markings and everything is very specifically given in our revealed scriptures. And Lord Vishnu tells Tulasi Devi that I will be found only on your shores, on your river, which is the Gandaki River. And my worship will be done by you, husband and wife only. So it is actually explained the way to worship Shaligram Shila is that Shaligram needs to be bathed by water that is poured out of a conch shell, and in that conch shell we need to place a tulasi leaf, and then we should pour down the water through the conch shell. Only then it is considered that the worship of Shaligram is complete. So Shaligram always sits on Tulasi Devi, and you know, Shaligram worship is complete with Shankha and Tulasi. So like this, Lord Vishnu, although he became the husband of Tulasi Devi, but still he also ensured that Tulasi Devi is also eternally united with her husband Shankha, Shankhachuda, and are eternally engaged in the service of Shaligram by being, you know, together with her own husband. And, you know, that is why actually at the end of this pastime, Lord Brahma declares, he says that anyone, any woman who claims to be chaste has two husbands. A chaste woman always has two husbands. The first husband is Krishna. And the second one is the representative of Krishna, who is taking care of us on behalf of Krishna. So that is how a chaste wife should be. And that Tulasi Devi has, you know, shown by her own life. She has exemplified by her own life. So this is the glorious wedding of Tulasi and Shaligram. So today is the auspicious day that we conclude the Tulasi Shaligram, we conclude the Damodar Vrata with the celebration of Tulasi Shaligram marriage, with the celebration of Rasa Leela. Today there was the Rasa Leela also. So lots of, it's the conclusion of the Damodar month, this month long, you know, Vrata that all of us have been performing of Deepadan. You know, again, next year we will again do it, but today is the last day that we do Deepadan. So, you know, Kartik, as we all know, is a very, very special month, extremely special month. And especially these last 5 days are most special. It's called the Bhishma Panchaka. And, you know, on today's day is the culmination that we actually try to break our fast after serving Vaishnavas and giving them some kind of gift. If we can gift something to the Vaishnavas, and if we can break our fast after serving the Vaishnavas, then our Vrata, and by taking their blessings, then our Vrata is complete, you know, of Damodar Vrata. So with this mood, we will try to conclude all of our individual Vratas. And so, if there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, pranam. It was so nice to hear the entire pastime from your mouth. It was so wonderful on this auspicious day. What a beautiful comeback after a long break, Mataji. Thank you so much for your wonderful association. It was really, really nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Anyone has any comments or questions? We have many callers on the line.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanur Pranam, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, and I welcome back again in the conference call. Nice to hear you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I have one question regarding that your class. How Tulsi Maharani, I mean, she always remember because her husband was demon and then she is a devotee of Vishnu also. How she maintained that chastity, Mataji, even though her husband was so demonic?
Good question. Although her husband was demoniac, but he was still a devotee of Lord Vishnu. He was externally a demon, but internally he was a devotee, you know, and you know, so but I fail to understand the relevance of the question. If you can be a little more specific.
Make remain in chastity in that condition. Even though her husband was demon, but she was always very chaste to him. How she be in that mood, Mataji? How she did that chastity? How she did you understand, Mataji?
Well, see, the thing is that our definition of being a demon would be that someone who is not a devotee. But Shankarachuda was a very special personality. He was a devotee and he loved his wife. And she loved him, although he was a demon. But she still loved him. So there was no problem in her being chaste to Shankarachuda. And he would not torture her, or he would not harass her, or he would not, you know, be mean with her or anything. He had, you know, he was a very, very wonderful personality, although he was a demon. You know, so just because he was a demon doesn't mean that, you know, he was torturing his wife. But they had a very, very loving and very, very sweet relationship. And she was very chaste to him. That's why.
Okay, Mataji. Because like Ritasura has a case, even though outside he was a demon, but he was devotee. Like that he was always devotee.
Right. The thing also is that, see, the chastity of the woman is actually not dependent whether the husband is a demon or a devotee, like in the case of Ravana, just to give you another analogy. In the sense that, you know, Mandodari Devi, she is known as one of the seven satis. The reason why she is known as one of the Shapta satis is because of her chastity to Ravana, and that she stuck with her husband even though he was, you know, going in, you know, wrong direction and everything, you know, but she always gave him advice in private. She always gave him advice and always told him that, you know, this is not the right thing to do. But she never, ever, you know, said, okay, you know, you are doing this, so I'm leaving you. There was no concept of, you know, leaving or, you know, going away from the husband. There was no such concept, actually, in the Vedic times. So even though Ravana was the greatest demon, Mandodari and Ravana had a very sweet relationship. Ravana also respected Mandodari, even though he may be having, you know, many other queens, or, you know, even Sita Devi, he was, you know, having her in captivity, whom he wanted to marry. But Mandodari, you know, for her, you know, her husband was, you know, like God. She worshipped her husband like God. So that is chastity. You know, whether a husband is you know, which is going to be really difficult for in Kali Yuga, probably, you know, because for us to even comprehend that kind of situation. But, you know, that's how it was. That's how the relationship between husband and wife was. it was very, very sacred. It was very special. It was very, very, very sweet. It was very cherished. And although externally the husband may be doing many things, but the wife would always support. And if needed, they would give good counsel also. They would correct the husband, but never in public, but always in private. They would correct the husband, try to bring him back to follow the religious principles. And that is why even Lord Ram, you know, considered, and he was the one who declared Mandodari as a sati, you know, as a, one of the Shapta satis, and one of the most chaste out of the seven satis that we have. So like this, we need to understand that what is actually the definition of chastity. You know, it's really not dependent whether husband is devotee or demon, but it is just dependent on upon the woman, actually. You know, the woman of the house. And it is based on her attitude towards the husband, that the husband will also have that same kind of attitude towards the wife. Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, Mataji. Very beautifully explained, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Very happy to hear from you, Mataji. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Shri Manjari, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Wonderful to hear you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I just want to say, I was speaking, Mataji. This is Vinaya.
Yes, Hare Krishna, Vinaya.
Okay, Mataji. I heard something, Mataji. That's why I told my name. Okay, I thought you said somebody else devotee's name, so I just want to tell my name. Okay, Mataji. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, not at all, not at all. It's wonderful to hear you too, Vinaya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for that wonderful class. Mataji, I have some confusions and questions.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
This is Indu, right?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So first is, how is chastity relevant in today's world? I don't know, I feel like I'm devoid of love if it includes love, respect, and worship your husband like God. It's kind of hard for me to understand that. Second one is, how can a person like Shankarachura, who's such a big demon, do so many bad things while also being God-conscious? So... I mean, now we see that, okay, people who do bad things, they really don't have any, they're kind of heartless people. So how would they even find any connection with God?
Very nice question. Well, as I was explaining, let me address your second question first, that Shankarachura was actually a very special person. He actually was a Jatismara. Jatismara means one who remembers his past life. But because of the curse that was inflicted upon him by Srimati Radharani, he actually took it upon himself to act in that demoniac way also. So demons generally have the tendency to always have battles with devatas. So that is what he would do. He would not do any other nasty thing other than just, you know, try to usurp the kingdom of the devatas. That's all he would do. And he would just, loot the devatas. He would just do all of that. But at the same time, he always knew that he is Krishna's sakha. He is Krishna's friend. He knew that. And that's why he was a very, very, you know, deeply connected with Krishna. He was a very deep devotee of Krishna. And because of his external nature of being, a demon, he would act in that certain way. And that too out of respect for Srimati Radharani, you know. And he actually took, you know, Srimati Radharani also, it is explained that she gave this curse to him because, you know, all of this had to come together, you know, Tulasi Devi. And even Srimati Radharani knew that, you know, Sudam Sakha was very attracted to Vrinda Devi, Tulasi Devi in the spiritual world. So she also wanted them to unite together in Krishna's service. So, you know, in the entire play of the whole thing, you know, that's why, you know, even, you know, he accepted this curse. He took it as a blessing from Srimati Radharani, not even as a curse. So this was to explain why Shankachuda, although he was a demon, that he was actually a devotee. So does that answer your second question?
Yes, Mataji. I did not know the background or history. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. So this is the reason why. And now, how is chastity relevant to us in today's day and age? Well, you know, nowadays, very common thing that is heard is that, well, if you cannot be Lord Ram, don't expect me to be Sita, you know? we just take it for granted that, you know, the situation is like this. But at least something that we can try to do, you know, is that when we, you know, chastity in today's day and age in Kali Yuga could just be the way that we are...
Would it be truthful, just truthful to your spouse?
Absolutely. Truthfulness is, you know, very, very proper. It is mandatory, actually. But at the same time, not just being truthful, but just, you know, giving oneself to each other, you know. Because you see, what the spouses know about each other, even the parents don't know, you know. That's the most closest kind of relationship that ever exists. So that's why it's called the most purest and the most intimate kind of relationship. So in that kind of relationship, even if you just, you know, you don't have to go too far back, but if you just see the lives of probably even our grandparents, we can see how intimately connected they were, you know. We could see their interactions. And you can see that, you know, there was the concept of separation or the concept of, you know, having someone else's thought, you know, while being in the relationship is never something that is even thought of, you know. They just remain chaste to each other. Chaste to each other just means that, yes, there is chastity from the wife. It's sometimes even just thought that it's just the wife who needs to be chaste. No, even the husband needs to be chaste to the wife. You know, so the chastity comes from both sides. They both give chastity into the relationship. You know, so it's all, you just can't tango single, you know. You have to, it takes two to tango. So it has to be, you know, both working on a relationship. And especially in Kali Yuga, in our current day and age, chastity would just mean simply that just be in the relationship, be in that moment, and, you know, just don't, you know, bring any other external thing to affect that relationship. You know, sometimes when one spouse becomes Krishna conscious and the other spouse is not, that situation sometimes, you know, can, you know, either drive away the other spouse or bring the other spouse very quickly to Krishna also, based on how the other Krishna conscious spouse is acting. If the Krishna conscious spouse, whether it be the husband or the wife, if they are acting in a way that, oh, I am now distant from you, I belong to Krishna, if that happens in the relationship, then your spouse is going to flip out. Because they are going to by default think that Krishna took my spouse away from me. They're going to blame Krishna. But rather, if we follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings and you know, be extra kind, be extra loving, be extra caring towards our spouses when we are, you know, either of them are Krishna conscious. If we can show the other spouse an extra ounce of care, extra ounce of love, then they feel that, wow, becoming Krishna conscious, my spouse has become a better person. So there are better chances, more chances of them accepting Krishna consciousness in a more positive way. So we should never make the blunder of, you know, distancing ourselves from the spouse, you know, even in a Krishna conscious way, or even in just a mundane sense. Never. That is chastity. So being chaste means sticking to each other through thick and thin, staying with each other through thick and thin. You know, just the marriage vows that we take, that is chastity. Keeping up those vows, that is chastity. You know? So it takes, you know, marriage, it is said that it is a workshop. The husband works and the wife shops, apart from that. But it is work, you know. It is something that we have to, you know, both work towards. It's not enough if just one person works. It's never going to work. It has to be the work of combined. It has to be both of them who are combining to work together, to make a relationship work. So, does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji. Very, very complete answer. Thank you so much. If no one else has a question, can I ask one more?
Yes, Indu, please. Even if anyone has another question, you can still ask. So please go ahead.
Okay. So, Mataji, so why did Vishnu have to use deceit? To actually get to Tulsi Devi, she prayed for so many years to get Vishnu as a husband, and then he comes like this. Why?
Because if he wouldn't have come, Tulsi Devi wouldn't have cursed him to become a stone, and we wouldn't have Shaligram Shila today. So that's just one answer. But you see, Krishna acts in mysterious ways. But ultimately, it is for our benefit, which is extremely difficult for us to understand in this Tulsi Vivaha episode, you know. It's very difficult to comprehend this fact that whatever means or Krishna decides to take, it may sound very, very rude, it may sound very, very crude, it may sound very unjustified, you know, very treacherous also, heartless also, exact words used by Tulasi Devi. But if not that, then the reaction would not have also come in that same way which Krishna wanted. You know, Lord Vishnu wanted that reaction from Tulasi Devi. Because Krishna knows past, present, and future. We don't. But Krishna knows. And he knew that if, say for example, if he would come as himself, okay, as Lord Vishnu himself, if he would make his appearance in front of Tulasi Devi and he would say, well, Tulasi Devi, now your husband is about to die, you know, so you should give up your chastity, give up your belonging to him, and you anyways desired me as your husband, so I've come to fulfill your desire, so come to me. No one would do that. Tulasi Devi would never have done that, never. She would never have, even though she was the one who desired Lord Vishnu, she would never ever knowingly she would never have done something which would have killed her husband, you see. So Lord Vishnu had to take this strong step so that her desire is fulfilled. And this was another way of getting his dear Sakha back to the spiritual world. You know, how long would Shankarachuda keep going on? There had to be some end, no? Like whoever has taken his birth is bound to die. So So that was the end of Tulasi and Shankarchuda's, you know, marital life in the material world. It was the end of, the time had come for them to wind up that particular pastime. And it had to be done because they were living in a world of bliss. So happy with each other. They were just enjoying an, you know, like an unconquered kingdom, you know, unrivalous kingdom on the planet of Earth. They were so happy with each other. There was nothing that could really separate them unless this kind of measure was taken, you know, to bring them back to the spiritual world, to bring both of them back to the spiritual world. And, you know, for Tulasi Devi to manifest as the plant, Tulsi Maharani to come out as the plant, Tulsi Devi to manifest as part of her body as Gandaki, for Krishna to become Shalagram Shila, all of this was needed. So although it may sound very heartless, although it may sound very crude, but at the same time, we should know that Krishna knows what is best for us. And ultimately, if we see, ultimately, that in the end, Tulasi Devi, till today, she is united with her husband, Shankarchuda. She is with him. Because Tulasi leaf and the Shankar, they are the ones that are used in worshipping Shalagram Shila. So Shankarchuda, he is now, you know, bones are generally considered inauspicious. If you touch a bone of a dead person, you have to go and take a bath. But conch shell, any kind of conch shell, is considered so auspicious that it drives away all inauspiciousness when we blow the sound of the conch shell. The reason why we blow the sound from the conch shell is that it is said to dissipate all kinds of inauspiciousness. So imagine, that was a demon, but now his life is glorious in using every day, all over the creation, he is being used in glorifying Krishna to drive away inauspiciousness. So how could, you know, in the ultimate, you know, pan of affairs, how could this ever be like a, you know, a heartless incident, right? So Krishna can take drastic steps, but it is for our benefit. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any more questions? Okay, if there's no more questions, we can end the call.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. The pastime was really, really nice to hear from you. If no one else has any questions or comments, we can end the call. Thank you all so much for joining. Thanks for the nice discussion. We'll end the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Tulasi Shaligram Vivah ki jai, Her Grace Kala Sudha Mataji ki jai.
Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Thank you.